For 36 years, the Goldman Environmental Prize has celebrated everyday heroes who are showing us that every action has the power to turn apathy into positive change for the environment. Heroes like Bastiana Gurri and Olsi Nika, who helped create Europe's first Wild River National Park. Visit us at goldmanprize.org to discover the stories of this year's Goldman Environmental Prize winners. And learn how when it comes to protecting our planet, the doing makes the difference.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Head to Safeway this week for these amazing deals for members. Signature Select Classic Ham, shank half or whole, bone in while supplies last, just 89 cents per pound. Enjoy 1 pound strawberries or 6 ounce blueberries, raspberries or blackberries. Buy two, get two free of equal or lesser value when you buy four. And mix and match Nabisco snack crackers, Ritz crackers, Cheetos, Doritos, Tostitos or Sun Chips, selected varieties and sizes. Buy two, get two for free when you buy four. Visit Safeway.com for more details. See you in the aisles.
You got to be aware of him at all times.
Tatum tries the jam, goes down hard.
Walker talking with Caldwell Pope. And Tatum's still down. The officials will obviously look at that. It's the airborne player. And the awkward fall and unable to brace yourself, that's what you always worry about.
After reviewing the illegal contact by Pope and then the ensuing follow-through to a player in the air and vulnerable with a potential for injury is upgraded to a flagrant foul, penalty one.
Wow. Celtics take game one off the Magic on Easter Sunday, 103-86. Jason Tatum dinged up in the game, largely stunk all day long. I was in the house, Keith Bragg.
No way.
Last second tickets.
Really?
Last second tickets fell into him.
Look at you.
I was there.
Found him in your Easter basket?
I sure did.
Nice.
And as he was lying on the baseline,
yeah,
I'm sitting there going, he's fine. And by the way, I wasn't the only one saying that. Joe Mazzulla, have you seen these videos of Mazzulla screaming at Tatum to get up? I've seen this with Jason Tatum so many times it's not funny.
Yeah.
He's lying on the ground. He's waiting for people to chant MVP
sure.
or whatever it is to get his ass up.
Get the crowd into it.
And I knew he was fine the whole time. By the way, how was that a flagrant? How on earth was that a flagrant
foul? It's 2025 NBA.
Okay, but even by 2025 NBA standards?
Yeah, it's sad.
People were saying he was getting dragged to the ground. He did not get dragged to the ground. Like, Caldwell Pope didn't take his wrist and rip him to the ground. There was hardly even contact.
Yeah, I know. Watching Celtic City and being reminded of how those guys played in the 80s, and you could, like, legit punch guys in the face and then you stay in the game. You could punch a fan in the face, you could stay in the game.
Robert Parrish was
a different time.
Smacking Laimbeer in the face,
yeah.
Punching Laimbeer
multiple
in the
times.
Face, stayed in the game.
Yeah.
Larry Bird, and that was Laimbeer too, right? Going back and forth.
Laimbeer,
is that who he hucked the ball
he whipped the ball at him.
Him and Dr. J.
Dr. J choking
staying
him.
Staying in the game.
Yeah,
I mean, forget flagrant fouls and getting ejected and technicals and things like this. They all stayed in the game.
Cedric Maxwell elbowed a fan in the chops that had a great game. Like, helped win the game for him.
So, like, to me, I mean, it shouldn't have been a flagrant
foul.
No,
I know. I
knew Tatum was fine. Mazzulla knew Tatum was fine. Already the Twitch chat, oh, the Celtics only won by 17. Should the Celtics fans be concerned? Signed by Jones. Like, no.
I knew
they were going to beat Orlando.
Of course.
Who the hell thought they were going to lose to Orlando?
Nobody.
They should not lose a game in this series.
No.
They shouldn't have been down at halftime, but whatever. I never thought they were going to lose the game. I never thought they were going to lose this game. I didn't really expect Tatum to stink out loud like he did. Is that too harsh?
No. No. I mean, Tatum and Brown, we can get into Brown, too. There's a lot more questions about him health-related. But, yeah, those guys weren't very good, and it just shows you how much better they are than the Magic. Maybe even the team they play in the next round, but that's what happens. If you have one of the best records in the NBA, you get to play one of the worst teams that makes the playoffs, and it should be kind of a lopsided game. You don't need to play your best. You know, I had sort of said before, you could be down two starters against the Magic and win. You could be down one starter against the Knicks or the Pistons and win. It's only going to get more difficult as you go, but yeah, that was Tatum did not play very well. Brown didn't play great, and they ended up being an easy second half for him. They cruised to a victory. Derek White's the guy that steps up and drills a bunch of threes. So yeah, the Magic aren't exactly any kind of test.
No, and I would say White was great in that game.
Yeah.
I would say Holiday to me, if you were hoping for playoff Drew Holiday,
yeah.
and that they were managing him and coasting him all, he was coasting in the regular season, but he's going to kick it up a notch in the playoffs. You saw some of that out of Holiday. Mm-hmm. Now, it's the Magic. I mean, again, they don't need much to beat Orlando.
No.
Orlando has two players. They have Banchero. They have Franz Wagner. And
one
that's
of the
it.
Amazing Wagner brothers.
That's all they have. I mean, they're a bad team.
Yeah, they're terrible.
And they can't score. And they're going to try to muck it up with the Celtics. Which, by the way, Tatum was asked about this after the game, after he slammed his wrist on the ground, which he was fine the whole entire time, but I guess he got an x-ray after the game.
Had to get x-rays.
Here's what he had to say.
Did you get an x-ray on that? What was the result of that?
Yeah, it's clean. It's good.
And the physicality, obviously, that play, you know, plays throughout this game. They're going to follow you guys. They're going to play really physical. What was it like adjusting to that, and how do you feel like you guys, you know, responded to it through the course of this game?
I mean, playoff basketball. It was a lot of fun out there. Felt good to be back in the playoffs, kind of playing a game like that in this environment. So it was fun.
Okay, so I actually didn't mind the second part of that answer from Tatum.
Yeah.
It's like, it's playoff basketball. No worries. He certainly didn't seem like that when he was lying on the ground. Did he really confirm he got an x-ray, by the way? Can I hear the beginning of that? That's the second or third time I've listened to that. I didn't pick up on this. He was asked one more time about the x-ray. Let me hear it.
Did you get an x-ray on that? What was the result of that?
Yeah, it's clean. It's good.
Okay,
it's clean.
Yeah, but does that
X-rays came back clean.
Does that mean the x-ray came back clean, or does that just mean my wrist is fine?
I think it means
re-listening to it. All right, whatever.
He got an x-ray.
Regardless, he's fine. His words, he was fine the whole time.
Yeah, I can't clown on him too much because my favorite player of all time took a wheelchair out of a game and came back and was sticking threes. Wow. So if that happens, then like anybody that holds an injury too long,
if you have a poop stain on your shorts, you wanna sit in a wheelchair. You don't want anybody to see that.
That was not the case with Tatum.
No,
he had that was clean. I'm like Paul Pierce at that time. So, yeah, but I mean, that's one of the, like, they can just sort of, you know, work the kinks out. You might as well, you just don't want to like lose an unnecessary game because health is so important for this team that even just that extra game, and I know Tatum was fine, but you see it with all these guys, right? Like they're, you know, whether it's Porzingis and managing him throughout the season or Jaylen Brown managing him through the final, really month of the season, you just want to make sure you get to the next round as healthy as possible.
What'd you think of Jaylen? You mentioned him a couple of different times.
Like, not great, but not overly concerning either. Like, somewhere in the middle, I guess.
He looked tentative.
He did. So, he hadn't played like hard in a while.
That's true.
He hadn't played big minutes in a while.
That doesn't mean he's not healthy.
Right.
That doesn't mean he can't do it. But he looked like a guy who was rusty, and I want to keep watching that because I would say he looked
definitely
tentative.
Yeah, and obviously he or Tatum didn't shoot well. Yeah, throw Porzingis in there, too, but Brown had that one play where he was like on defense and kind of went up to like deflect the ball and like landed, and you're like looking at him like, is he going to be all right? And he kind of was. But yeah, anytime a guy like that goes down, and maybe this will be good for him, right? Like you get to have these games, which are essentially like warm-up games for like the real playoff games that matter.
Yeah, these are preseason games against Charlotte right
kinda
now,
is
what these are. Yeah.
So you can kind of figure out what he has in the tank. What did he end up with? Like 30 minutes, I think it was. So you're like, all right.
30 on the dot.
Yeah.
Which is, he still has not played north of 30.
And since they lost to the Thunder, right?
Correct.
Yeah.
And so, you know, it was a blowout. It's hard to measure. Yeah. I mean, Terp popped in here. We were talking about this a little off the air with Terp. He's like, well, it was a blowout. He could have played more minutes. He could have, but he didn't. So no. I want to keep watching that with Jaylen. He didn't look 100% to me, but some of that might have been rust and not an injury, so let's watch it.
He had the dunk, right? Like, so that was at least something to see because you're wondering, like, all right, it's in him, but we haven't seen it yet. So, like, anything that he does was going to be kind of viewed under a magnifying glass. So, like, I'll take it. It's sort of like pass the test onto the next one. It's not like, oh, case closed, we're good. But he also wasn't hobbling around, and if he was doing that, then we obviously would have jumped all over that and been overly concerned.
So you think there is potential? The Celtics are not going to lose to the Magic, but something I didn't necessarily see coming, and I'm wondering, and after one game, maybe I'm overreacting. You let me know if you think that's the case. 617-779-7937. I wonder if the Magic are given a bit of a blueprint to other teams, and it's not anything schematic. It's just, well, rough them up a little bit. I mean, get into them, muck it up. That's all they're doing. That's all the Magic did, and they were winning at halftime, and that's an unskilled bad team. So I don't know. Do the Knicks and Pistons have that kind of personnel in the second to do some of that? I think they do.
Yeah.
Do the Cavs?
It's not old Knicks and Pistons.
No.
But like they could.
Do the Cavs have personnel to do it? I feel less strongly about that, but maybe. Do the Thunder have the personnel to do it? Definitely. So I wonder, and I'm not saying they're all doing it after one game, but let's see how this series goes. If you take the physicality to the Celtics, how does Tatum respond? How does Brown respond? How does Porzingis respond? They were all bad in that game. Now, is that a one-off? Does that continue? Because the Magic are not good enough to exploit it, but they may still give more talented teams, I think, as we said, a blueprint or just a way to look at the Celtics and say, all right, we're going to rattle Tatum's cage and we're going to see if he can handle it. And in game one, he couldn't.
Yeah, he couldn't. I just think there's not going to be too many games where Tatum, Brown, and Porzingis all play poorly. And if that's the case, any team has to win that game, right? So you're not worried about it with the Magic, but those other teams, they all have to do it because they really had two players play well offensively, right? It was Peyton Pritchard and Derek White.
Oh, the Celtics, yeah.
Celtics.
Yeah.
Well, the Magic never will. The Magic have Paolo Banchero, and then Wagner's solid.
They just have two players.
They have awful offense. Yeah. Like, their offense is the pits. Those two guys together had 50, 60 points or whatever. I think 59 points between the two of them. They scored 86 as a team. That's like old school NBA, like late 90s basketball. They scored 86 points. So you're not worried about that. But to your point, can other teams do that? Yeah, maybe. But the Celtics are just so deep and they have so many guys that can carry the offense. And I would think.
I know, but do you think it was just. You think it was just random they had bad games? Or you think Orlando, because they are a good defensive team, they are a good defensive team.
Yeah.
And because, you know, they played those guys physically.
Yeah, yeah.
Do you think there was a correlation to why they played bad, or do you just think it was a one-off?
So I think with Brown, it might be just kind of rusty, and because I think Brown actually can thrive in a physical game, right? And I actually kind of like that when he's not settling for threes and he goes inside, and even if he's taking on contact, that's fine. I think Tatum has proven he can do that as well. I just think, yeah, those teams can try to do that, and I don't know. Like, Orlando's probably is a better defensive team, right, than
New York.
The New York.
Yeah,
is.
Well, and
so,
yeah.
Like, they can try to do it. I don't know if they have the personnel. They're going to be able to score more, but they're also going to give up more. So, like, it might be a style that they're not exactly prepared to play.
No, I think the Knicks, the problem is, you know, Brunson's so small.
Yeah.
And Towns is so bad defensively that the Celtics can hunt matchups. But do they have personnel that can get into the Celtics a little bit between Hart and
maybe.
Anunoby and to a lesser degree, Bridges? I think they have some of that. So, can you take away from this series? And let's keep watching. Mm-hmm. I mean, maybe the Celtics just run him out of the gym and Orlando tries to be physical and Tatum laughs at him next game and he puts up 35 and he threatens a triple-double.
Because we're also due for a game. So they had six more threes made than the Magic. We're due for a game where they have like 12
more.
They
just pour them all in.
Yeah. And that could be, tonight? Or that could be, tomorrow. Two games, days off in between games at the Garden is insane. But yeah, so it could be tomorrow. Could be game three. But there's going to be one. Maybe it's not to the level of game one of the Thunder series, but I think they're in line for one of those type of games.
Text line 617-779-7937 says, what do you think of Mazzulla yelling at Tatum to get up? I mean, I just think if I'm Mazzulla, and not every coach would do this, a lot of coaches would stand there silent, let their best player do whatever they want. But I bet he's tired of watching Tatum lie on the ground for 15 minutes. He's like, get up.
He wasn't having it.
You know, like, yeah. I knew he was fine. Yeah. I was up in the 300s. I knew he was fine.
He's like, let's just keep going here.
So
we just want to get going.
It could also be, if you want to be more glass half full than I am, it could also be, well, he's trying to manifest it and will it into existence, and he's hoping he gets up. So he's like, get up. Get up, but he was holding.
It's like Mick yelling at Rocky, though. Like, I don't know if it's the same thing.
He was holding the trainer back. Like, I think he's sick of watching it. And so maybe that just bled through in that moment.
Maybe.
Or maybe it got away from him. But, like, we're all sick of watching Tatum lie on the ground and hamming it up and waiting for MVP chance. He was fine the whole time. He barely even got touched down.
But, like, how often do you see a head coach
scream
at the best player?
Not often.
You really don't see it.
So you're.
So Mazzulla's on the hot seat.
You're walking a fine line there, Joe. I mean, if they get.
That's how you choose to do it, Joe. You might be gone.
I mean, you know. Mike Malone called out the Nuggets for not watching tape. He was fired like a day later.
Uh-huh.
So, I mean, yeah, you are walking a fine line when you're critical of the best players on the team. No doubt.
You got to be careful.
But I liked it. I liked it from Joe because I felt the exact same way. Mm-hmm. Get up.
Yeah. What do you think of Joe's in the first half kind of throwing like a bunch of different lineups out there? Because it seemed like they were trying to figure something out.
Yeah, I just think.
And I was like, I know they ended up winning by 17 or whatever. They covered the spread. But in the early going, you're like, how come they're not like pulling away here?
Yeah.
And he kept throwing different lineups out.
I just think he might be trying stuff. I mean,
it's like a preseason.
I don't love to buy into this, but when we were talking about it down the stretch, Orlando, I really don't think it matters all that much.
True.
But maybe he was trying to send a bit of a message, you know, to guys who are, whether it's Porzingis, who didn't play well in that game. I mean, Tatum played the whole first quarter,
right,
if memory serves. So, I don't know, maybe there's a minor message in there as well, but more likely it's just, hey, we don't need everybody for 40 minutes against Orlando. We don't. Mm-hmm. 617-779-7937. 793.7. There's also this. If the Celtics are having their feels, they could go 16-0. Like, they should sweep this team. So the idea a game and just you can't criticize anything, like, they didn't play well, but they're that much better than Orlando.
Right.
So I don't look at that and go, well, see, they won. They won by 17. They're fine.
Yeah.
They were losing at half. Right. They didn't play well. Tatum didn't play well.
Yeah.
And the coach was yelling at the player to get up in the game. So I don't know. I mean, I expected them to win. Did you not expect them to win the game going away against Orlando?
Oh, I expected them to win and cover.
We all expected that.
Yeah. I just, in the first half, wasn't there a little bit of you being like, they weren't a great home team. So, like, they don't have that huge advantage that I thought that they should have, that a lot of great teams have at home. They almost have that more on the road, oddly enough.
I'll tell you, at halftime, it wasn't quite halftime. The Celtics were down three. Yeah. Orlando had the ball. I forget who had the strip. Maybe Holiday had a steal going the other way. But Orlando had possession up three late in the first half, and I checked the live line. It was minus 250 sold.
Yeah, so, nobody,
I was ready to bet them. I'm like, yeah, it's not even worth betting because they're still such a heavy favorite. So
right.
I never thought they were going to lose the game, but against a better team, maybe I would feel that way, Keith, where they've been a shaky home team. You can't trust them at home. And so if they're down against one of those better teams, whether that is New York, if you have them in that group, or the Pistons, definitely Cleveland.
Yeah.
Then maybe I would feel that way. Orlando's just not good enough. And their offense just disappears for long stretches at a time.
You know, normally if one team in the playoffs, if one team plays really well and one team plays poorly, the team that plays well is going to win. But that's not the case in this matchup. So I don't think you really have to worry all that much about it. I guess the question then becomes, like, how much do the Pistons and the Knicks even close that gap? Like, how bad do the Celtics have to play? Like, I feel like they're going to beat themselves more than another team is just going to show up and beat them straight up.
I think that's probably fair. You can jump in, 617-779-7937. We have a lot on the program today. Tier Tuesday, we're going to tier off all the worst draft picks, the draft busts for the Patriots since 2000. That's at 1130. We also have another pair of tickets to give away to the Red Sox and the Twins on May 3rd. Tommy Curran, Tommy Tuesday at high noon. We'll get the latest on the Pats and the draft from Tom Curran of NBC Sports Boston. Kiefer Madness for you at 1245. Plus, we'll do another Hate It or Love It. Tep McMillan comes your way about a half an hour from now. You can vote at Jones and Keefe on Twitter and Instagram. Meantime, let's get to some phone calls. Joe is in the car. What's up, Joe?
What's up, guys?
Hey.
Jones, you're so right with Jason Tatum. I can't. But there was one thing you said, though, earlier when you said that you were surprised with his performance yesterday. This guy's been doing this in the playoffs since I can remember. I mean, yes, he's had a couple games here and there in the playoffs that you're like, wow. But I'm telling you right now, if it wasn't for the supporting cast, that they've been carrying Jason Tatum. You know, and it should be the other way around. Tatum's the superstar that everybody thinks he is. He should be the guy that should be taking over games and winning for us. But
so Joe,
he's not the guy.
Joe, I do wish your phone was better since you agree with me.
That's a shame.
The people who wanted Tatum to take over and carry everybody, Jaylen wasn't 100%, didn't look 100%, or at best look rusty. So the people who wanted Tatum to come out and like take over a game against the crummy Magic, you definitely didn't get that.
No, you didn't get that. At least you didn't get that in game one of this series.
No,
he has had games where he's done it. I mean, that's a short memory for you go back to the Bucks series from a few years ago or the Sixers series from a couple years ago. Like, there's been moments where he's done it. And you're right, the supporting cast was massive in them winning the title last year. But if you take Jason Tatum off the Celtics, they're not winning the title, right? Like,
no.
you could say, hey, he wasn't
the best player.
The best player. He wasn't he wasn't like Kobe Bryant or Michael Jordan in a series. But if you removed him off the team, they're not even in the finals.
There
were a lot of injuries last year.
Last year, maybe.
They don't win it, though. I don't think they win it.
I would agree with that. But was he, does this sound too strong? He was carried at times. Yeah, I think he was. Maybe that's too strong for some. I think he was. Tom is in Hull. Go ahead, Tom.
Hey guys. First of all, Joey Mazz is the best coach in the NBA. He's playing everybody the first game because he's getting everybody in the flow. And Jason Tatum is our he's our best player. He's our superstar. Okay, but the thing is, we have a lot of superstars on the team. We're like seven or eight deep. So we got probably four or five guys that can go out and score 30 at any given game, and the Celtics are going to take care of the Magic. But my only fear is when we get to Oklahoma. Other than that, Celtics are going to repeat all day. And Jason Tatum is our superstar.
Okay, so I agree with some of this. Like the only team that would concern me
Yeah, Thunder.
The only team I would pick over the Celtics is Oklahoma City. That's it. I mean, so I guess I agree with some of that.
I also agree with this point. Like, how many? So Derek White had 30 points in game one. How many guys on the team this playoff run do you think will have a 30-point game?
Well, Tatum better.
Tatum and Brown will at some point.
Brown better. Could Porzingis? Sure. Holiday won't.
No. White just did.
Yeah, so
Pritchard? Like, he could?
Even I would
Hauser?
Say no. But, like, four guys. How many teams have four guys who could put up a 30-point game?
I mean, you'd need a lot of games for the Magic to get to that number. You need those guys to just keep playing. You'd have to, maybe for the series, I don't know if some of these guys are going to get to 30 points.
Yeah, they're going to struggle.
But in one game, yeah, it's not. I mean, I guess the Cavs have a couple. The Knicks have a couple.
Pritchard against Orlando actually could be.
He might.
Yeah, against like a
he had 19 off the bench.
Yeah, no, like, I mean, he could. I'll leave him out of the group for now.
Horford, I don't know about 30, but no. Horford's definitely good for like, he's going to have a game where he hits like six threes.
Yeah, if you rephrase it to 20.
Well, like, 20, I mean, you got seven or eight.
Eight guys who could pop off for 20. And, you know, maybe three or four who could get you 30. So, yeah, I mean, the Celtics are deep, no doubt about it. But is the depth going to carry them again? It helped last year. Or do you need Tatum to step up? In game one, he did not. Can we all agree on that?
He did
Doesn't
not.
Mean he won't. Doesn't mean he can't.
He's due.
But in game one, he did not. 617-779-7937. Thank God they have that long layoff so he can heal up his wrist going into game two tomorrow night. At TD Garden. As we told you, busy, busy day. It's a tiered Tuesday. We're going to tier off the biggest Patriots draft busts since the year 2000. There's a shocking amount of material, so we'll get to that.
Hey there, I'm Kendra Adachi, and my show, The Lazy Genius Podcast, helps you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't, and you get to decide what matters. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you a new way to see. Episodes of the Lazy Genius Podcast are full of compassionate time management tips and permission slips to do what makes sense for you. New episodes drop every Monday. Follow and listen to the Lazy Genius Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's Tier Tuesday with Jones and Keith.
Let's go!
Tier Tuesday on Jones and Keith. It's brought to you by Jackson Lumber and Millwork. Visit Jackson Lumber and Millwork for all your residential, remodeling, or commercial building materials and supplies. Jackson Lumber and Millwork, providing solutions and delivering results since 1946. Today, Keith, we are going to tier off the biggest Patriots draft busts since the year 2000. We'll get to that in a moment, but it's a two for Tuesday here on WEEI.
What is it?
It's a two for Tuesday.
Two for Tuesday.
Let's roll.
Be caller 9 right now to the contest line, 617-931-0937. And if you have today's code word, you will score a pair of tickets. See the Red Sox take on the Twins on May 3rd at Fenway Park. Again, caller 9 right now, contest line, 617-931-0937. If you have the code word, you can pass it along to Billy, and you will get a pair of tickets, Red Sox and Twins, May 3rd at Fenway Park. Have at it there. What do we have for tiers today, Keith?
Well, this is very exciting. With the NFL draft on Thursday, we are going to do biggest Patriots draft busts since 2000.
Mm-hmm.
We're doing a lot of since 2000 stuff here.
Yeah.
It's easy to wrap my head around. Last 25 years. So the biggest draft busts since then. And right now we have four different tiers. So again, it's fluid. We can add or subtract as we go. Top tier, fireable offense.
Okay.
These are the ones, they're just such a bad player.
These are the ones where you look at it and go, why is Bill? Yeah.
Or Elliot.
Elliot Wolf.
Or Elliot.
Why are they even still here?
Why are you still here?
Yeah.
Fireable offense. One tier down from that. What are you doing?
Yeah, probably.
What are you doing?
Probably a head scratcher at the time, perhaps.
Not a fireable offense.
A very easy second guess. Not a fireable offense.
But what are you doing?
Not good. What are you
doing? What is that? Third one down. We saw it coming. This would be your predictable, and you'll get what we're talking about with a few of these.
Bill had a type,
and they
never hit.
And then the last one is we'll allow it. Because we've already determined these to be the top busts. So everybody on this list is a bust. But there is a bottom tier. That means you're like the least bust of everybody on there.
Some are a little more understandable than others. We'll allow it. Everybody's allowed to whiff on a pick here and there.
All right. Do you want me to start throwing the names out from the most recent or from the longest ago? What do you think?
Let's go most recent. Let's work our way in reverse order. Yeah.
So this comes in from the 2024 draft. That would be wide receiver Jalen Polk. That's right. That was an Elliott Wolf pick. Jalen Polk.
It's either what are you doing or fireable offense. The reason I would argue fireable offense is he's basically lost his job because of it.
He did get fired because of this.
And he traded down out of the Ladd McConkey spot. So I would argue fireable offense, but if you think that's too strong.
Sold.
Okay, let's do it.
No, he traded out of the Ladd McConkey spot.
Thank you.
And now
it's not just that you missed, it's that the other guy was a stud away.
If you had Drake May, Ladd McConkey, like, now we're talking.
Right.
Yeah, promote that man.
Right.
Get that guy a job for life.
Instead, he literally got fired.
Yeah.
You're fired.
He's been reassigned.
He's out.
He's been reassigned.
Well, yeah, I'm sorry. He's been reassigned, not fired. You're right.
All right, 2022, Cole Strange.
Okay, this one
Cole
is...
Cole Strange.
This is, I would not argue personally fireable offense for me. I would argue, what are you doing? The whole league was going, what are you doing?
Yeah, McVay laughed at you.
You were laughed at by the Rams. I wouldn't go fireable offense because I think there's another gear Bill could get to.
Yeah.
But I would say, what are you doing? We were all wondering what he was doing in real time. This one was predictable.
A guard out of Chattanooga in the first round seems like a joke.
It was aggressive.
It seems like a joke pick.
Uh-huh.
And you're like, all right, now submit your real pick going forward. And he hasn't been very good. I know some would argue, like, well, he's been injured. Like, whatever. He's not been available. He's certainly not worth a first round pick. But I'm with you. I think you do need to separate between, like, the real, real, real bust. So he's one down. I'm fine with that.
Okay.
What are we doing?
Same draft class. In the second round, Tyquan Thornton.
Okay, this is the
tiniest
definition.
Tiniest wrists in the history of the combine.
This is the definition of we saw it coming.
Yes.
That's what I would say.
I agree. There is a bit of a type. Now, Jalen Polk was so bad, he goes to fireable offense. But there's a list. Pretty much when they were drafting wide receivers or second-round corners, it was like, that guy's not going to work.
Yeah.
Maybe on another team, but not here.
Not here.
They're going to identify the wrong guy.
Every time they take a wide receiver, we'd go, well, this guy's probably not going to work out. And then it would happen. We saw it coming.
2021, Mac Jones.
Right, not to just keep working our way down the tiers, I would allow this one. And I really was not a fan of Mac Jones from when they drafted him.
You're going, we'll allow it?
I would allow it. They took a swing on a quarterback. Like, I'll allow for that whiff and make your case.
So it doesn't really fit we saw it coming because I think it is more the wideouts and the corners, but he was way overdrafted to the point where, like, he shouldn't have been a first-round pick. He was also the fifth quarterback off the board.
So you want to say, what are you doing? But then what were they going to do? Start who? What were they going to do?
Jarrett Stidham. Or more Cam Newton, maybe? No, I'll go with Allow.
As critical as I was of Mac, I would allow for that one. You're taking a swing at a quarterback. It didn't work, but I'll allow it.
2019, N'Keal Harry.
Fireable offense.
Fireable offense.
And this is hilarious because it was like my favorite pick of all time when they made it.
That's amazing.
I love N'Keal Harry.
Wow.
That was my pick in that draft that I wanted them to get. They got it. I celebrated like a wild man on the air. And I was as wrong as I've been on anybody this side of Nikola Jokic, but that is a fireable offense in retrospect.
So bad.
You can fire me and Bill.
It's also because of the timing, and it's like you're trying to keep Tom Brady happy, and then you throw the guy can't play at all. He's just an absolute bum.
You're fired.
Same draft class, second round, and he probably got a lot of pressure taken off of him because N'Keal Harry was so bad, and all those great receivers were drafted right after N'Keal Harry. But don't sleep on Juwan Williams.
No, I wouldn't.
The big corner.
We saw it coming.
We saw it coming.
When they're again day two corners, like not that hard to predict this one. We saw this one.
No, I would agree with you on that one. All right, next guy we have Isaiah Wynn from 2018.
Okay, should we talk about these guys in tandem or separately?
Go ahead, throw them both in
there. Okay, Isaiah Wynn and Sony Michel were the same draft. The only reason I'd consider talking about them in tandem is because Bill in his book just said
he wishes he had Lamar.
This is one of his two regrets.
He's only got two regrets in life.
That's it.
Yeah.
It wasn't benching Malcolm Butler. It wasn't running Tom Brady out of town.
No.
It wasn't hiring all his children and everybody else's kids from his buddy. No. It was not getting Lamar here, and it was not kicking a field goal with Gostkowski in 2007. Those were his two big regrets. So I think Wynn was more regrettable than Sony Michel just because he was so bad. I think... Honestly, both of these I would allow for, and I'm surprised Bill had such a regret because they missed out on Lamar. Would you put it higher?
So, no, because when you're looking at the rest of the list, I think passing up on Lamar is one thing, but then also the timing. Like, how would that have worked out?
Right.
That would have been 1 year sooner for Bill to get rid of Brady. So, that one's tough. Sony Michel, and I know it was, you know, more offensive line and just the opponents, but Sony Michel at least had a good run and was helpful in that last Super Bowl.
Two-time Super Bowl champ.
And Wynn... I don't know. He was obviously not great, but compared to some of the other guys on this list, I'll put it in will allow it.
I honestly would allow for both. Maybe you think that's too soft.
Those
were needs on championship caliber teams. Michelle helped you win. You could argue Wynn did as well. I would put those on the will allow it.
All right, what about in the same draft class, Duke Dawson?
Yeah, we saw it coming.
Yeah, I mean, that was brutal. The second round corners.
Did he make it into year two?
I don't even know if he did.
I think he might have made it into camp and then got cut or traded. I don't even remember which one. That was one of the shortest tenures out of any high draft pick.
Well, I'll introduce you to another one. 2016, Cyrus Jones.
Okay, is this we saw coming or is this a higher? This might be a higher level, Keith.
What are we doing? I don't think it's fireable offense because it's second round.
They drafted him basically as a punt returner, and he couldn't catch punts.
I
mean,
Clamp Clampington is the nickname he gave himself, I believe. Couldn't cover anybody. Couldn't catch punts.
Didn't realize that.
You want to say but I don't know. Are second round picks fireable offenses?
Okay, fair.
Although we do a Polk up there.
Fair. It wasn't.
We do a Polk up there.
Yeah, but that's a special one.
I think it's we saw it coming.
Okay, we saw it coming. Fine.
I think it's we saw it coming.
Fine.
Just because it kind of fits the theme. 2015 first round pick Malcolm Brown. I think it's a will allow it.
That's where I would put it.
I remember getting into
an argument. He's just such a forgettable player.
I remember getting in an argument with somebody because I like lumped him in as a bust. And they were like, what are you talking about? I'm like, this guy they drafted in the first round, played sparingly for like 4 years, then left, and nobody said a word. Nobody said a word like, how come they didn't re-sign him? It was just like, he played here for his rookie deal and left. It's like, if your first-round pick leaves and nobody even mentions it, like, how good was he?
Very forgettable player.
That was
one of those that got reported as the Patriots traded the pick, and then they actually made the selection.
Correct.
Because they were surprised he got there. Yeah, I'll allow for that.
Same class, Jordan Richards.
Oh, that's a what are we doing?
Oh.
You saw Jordan Richards coming? I thought Richards...
No, safety.
I guess
you're right,
he was
not
more
a corner.
Safety.
Not, what are you doing is good because everybody was like, why would you even
They're
take
like,
him?
You're a college captain. We're going to take you highly. What are you doing?
Oh, what are we doing?
Thank you.
All right, 2014 first-round pick, Dominic Easley.
I want to hear you answer this because I think you're more down on this than I am.
I would say fireable offense.
Okay.
Because he had injury issues coming out. You used a first-round pick on him, and he was awful. Couldn't play.
At the time... It was, I mean, Bill started racking these up later on in his drafting tenure, but at the time it was one of the real, we'll get to another name coming up, one of the real first round misses.
True, because he used to hit on every first rounder.
Yeah,
right?
For a long time you could say that. So fine, let's go fireball offense.
You're fired.
2013 Aaron Dobson. Your guy Aaron Dobson.
I called him Alshon Dobson at the time. I was hoping he was Alshon Jeffrey.
He was not.
Which, in retrospect, what a joke of a thing to even want. Like if it was Alshon Jeffrey, you'd be like, eh.
I think he's a...
predictable?
We saw it coming.
Exactly.
2012, Tavon Wilson?
I would put him the same place we put Jordan Richards. Same. What are you doing?
100%.
No one... Was this the guy they didn't even have tape on? Or was this a different guy?
It was Richards and Wilson. I feel like in back-to-back drafts, it was... And not that these guys are the be-all, end-all, but they prepare for a million guys on these draft shows. And it was Todd McShay and Mel Kiper were like turning over their paper.
They're like, who?
Under the desk. Right. They're like, yeah... We don't have tape on this guy.
And you know Bill was like getting off on that somewhere. He's like, they don't even know who this is. I took him in the second round.
I'm the man.
That's a what are we doing.
What are we doing?
2011 first pick, I believe, of the second round was Ross I. Dowling.
So
Ross I.R. Dowling.
They didn't trade the pick. I remember being very critical of that at the time. They were top of the board. This is when they started splitting up the draft into different days. And so you had a lot of time to really field trade calls. And they took a guy who was, this is very similar. It's a second rounder as opposed to a first rounder.
Right.
Very similar to Dominic Easley.
He was hurt in high school and in college. I remember reading, I think I was doing a draft show that night. Actually, I think me and Wiggy were doing a draft show together at the other place. And I remember when they drafted him and we're like looking it up. And
Fireball?
Like,
I think it's the worst. It's him or Cyrus Jones are the worst corner pick. I think that's even beyond like.
And Dowling
saw it
was
coming.
Even higher. Dowling was the first pick of the second round. So yeah, I'll put it fireball.
You're fired.
Terrence Wheatley. I feel like that's what we saw
that's
coming.
Easy. We saw that coming
because that was a second round pick, but he obviously couldn't play either. Lawrence Maroney in 2006. He was the starting tailback on the 07 team.
He was. You could go. What are you doing here? I personally would allow it. Maybe
we'll
I have a blind spot for running back, so if you want to throw that in my face, go for it. I personally would allow this. They were trying to find the successor to Corey Dillon. They took a swing on it. It didn't work. No one's saying it worked.
No, it didn't work, but he also, early on in his time, there were obviously a couple of tight ends that they drafted, but for the most part, they went a lot of defense, right? Where there's like Seymour, Wilfork, Warren, you're like a lot of defense. So like for them to take a swing, I was like, all right,
and they doubled down.
They did. Chad Jackson.
So again, is this a we saw? I don't even know if we saw it coming at the time. This
Not
one might
yet.
Be this might be higher.
What are we doing? No. fireable offense, Chad Jackson. They did trade up.
And they missed out on who? It was Greg Jennings and I thought another receiver in that draft who went sort of in that same
Greg Jennings
tier.
Was like right after.
I would maybe go it was quite fireable.
All right, you want to go Chad Jackson
maybe,
there?
Maybe what are we doing? That was worse than just your run-of-the-mill wide receiver bust.
All right, Bethel Johnson in 2003.
I personally allow for that one.
You'll allow Bethel Johnson?
I still kind of believe Bethel Johnson.
He's not any good. He had one kick return.
I still kind of believe he should have worked out. Where would you put it?
I would say, so it doesn't make a lot of sense, but this is sort of the beginning of the they can't draft receivers.
So.
Right, because Deion Branch, I believe, was the year before, which they hit.
We saw it coming?
Yeah, I think he's sort of like the first one.
I could be talked into that.
And then lastly, the first pick of the Bill Belichick era, Adrian Clem.
The original draft bust.
He was a second rounder, so he wasn't a first rounder, but stunk.
Allow it?
Yeah.
Where does he go?
Probably will allow it. Yeah, that's fine.
Okay.
All right, so here we go. Fireable offense for the worst Patriots draft bust since 2000. Jalen Polk, N'Keal Harry, Dominic Easley, Rasai Dowling.
Pretty good.
Yeah.
I mean, horrible, but pretty good list there. Yeah.
What are you doing? Cole Strange, Jordan Richards, Tavon Wilson, Chad Jackson.
Strong.
We saw it coming. Tyquan Thornton, Juwan Williams, Duke Dawson, Cyrus Jones, Aaron Dobson, Terrence Wheatley, like, Bethel Johnson.
When you lay it out that way, it's like, Bill, why did you keep taking kicks? Just
stop it.
We all saw these coming. Yeah. Stop.
And then we'll allow it. Mac Jones, Isaiah Wynn, Sonny Michel, Malcolm Brown, Lawrence Maroney, Adrian Clem.
Okay, so you were initially hesitant as to where we put Mac Jones. You feel better about it now that you've seen all the tiers?
Yeah.
Are you think he's still too low?
No, I think they desperately needed a quarterback. In year one, he actually looked like a halfway decent quarterback. So, no, I think compared to those other guys, that's probably fair.
Okay, so those are the tiers. Seek them out at Jones and Keefe on Twitter and Instagram. And while you're there, you can also vote in today's Hate It or Love It. I think we mostly have the conclusion from yesterday. We gave you Jalen Walker on the off day yesterday, mid-Red Sox game. We're going to get to Tetteroa McMillan. Would you hate that pick for the Patriots at pick four, or would you love it? We'll get to it with all your phone calls next. Hate It or Love It on Jones and Keefe. We'll update yesterday's polling on Jalen Walker. We'll get you today's Hate It or Love It prospect, Tetteroa McMillan. Some feel the best full-time wide receiver.
Sure.
In the draft, I would personally argue with those people. A reminder, Tommy Curran joins us high noon on a Tom E. Tuesday here on Jones and Keefe. You can listen live on the Audacy app, AUDACY. Take it with you wherever you go. It's free and it's easy. Final polling yesterday, Hate It or Love It. We snuck this in on Patriots Day, mid-Red Sox game.
Content factory.
But we want numbers on all these players. Now, the polling hasn't fully closed on this, but it's held strong for a while.
Okay.
60% hate Jalen Walker at pick four.
Yeah.
40% love it. Neither you nor I were fans of that selection.
I hate it.
I would be fine with Abdul Carter there.
Sure.
Not fine with Jalen Walker there. So that's mostly finalized. We'll get you the latest polling at Jones and Keefe. You can vote. Tet McMillan, the number four pick in the draft. Would you hate it? Would you love it, Keefe?
I would hate it. And I'm a wide receiver guy, as you know. Normally, I'd be very pro wide receiver when it comes to all this. But that's why you can't just broad brush it. You can't just like pick a position that you like or a position that you don't like and go into it every year with that. You have to look at the prospects as they enter. So last year, if Marvin Harrison was in this draft, or if Malik Nabers was in this draft, or maybe even Brian Thomas, I might feel a lot different. I might say, all right, at four, take him. Like, take that guy, pair him up with Drake May, and now you have your future combo going forward. I think we've talked a lot about Jenty and Warren. Those are more elite premium players at those positions. I don't think there really is. It's not a great wideout class. It doesn't mean Tet McMillan can't come in and, you know, be a number two on some team somewhere or number three. I don't love him, and I hate taking him at four. I feel like then I'd even take my guy Will Campbell at four way before I would take Tet McMillan. So I feel like that'd be a big-time reach. You'd still be desperately needing your starting left tackle. And I would rather take a shot at one of those other guys that might be a real home run in Warren or Jenty. So I would hate this.
So I would hate it at four, and I'm with you. I think if the Patriots moved up in the 20s to take him, I still wouldn't like it. I don't like McMillan as a prospect. And if he's Mike Evans or he's Drake London, well, then I'll be wrong about it.
Yeah, but T. Higgins is another comp that gets thrown out there.
Another good one. Yep. But if he is, you know, Laquan Treadwell, if he's N'Keal Harry, like one of these big guys who just can't get open, and they're contested catch guys because they can't get open, well, then it's not going to work out. And so at pick four, I would absolutely despise it. if they move down to 8, 9, 10, I would despise it. I don't even think I would like it.
Okay.
If they moved up from 38 into the 20s. I'm just not in as a prospect or on this prospect with Tet McMillan. So you can vote at Jones and Keefe at pick 4. How would you feel about the Pats selecting Tetteroa McMillan? Early returns, very, very early. But the people would be out. And I'll tell you,
yeah,
there is a trend here with this, Keefe. People pretty much hate everything that isn't Travis Hunter or Abdul Carter.
I get it.
You know,
that's
like,
good. I mean, I liked a couple more guys. Or
Will Campbell and Ashton Jeanty were more 50-50-ish.
Right.
Even Jalen Walker, 60-40. That's not like fans hate them. They just prefer other picks. But, yeah, it's mostly hate for everybody not named Travis Hunter or Abdul Carter, which, by the way, all you listeners out there, that's how I think everybody feels about this draft. That's how people in the league feel about this
Pretty
draft.
Much.
Nobody loves where it's going. Nobody loves the options, which is, again, why the Patriots screwed it up in week 18.
Did they ever?
You can jump in here on Jones and Keefe, like Daniel in Dallas. What's up, Daniel?
Hello.
Daniel?
Daniel would like to talk draft?
Oh, you want to talk Pat's draft? We can do some Pat's draft talk with Tom E. Curran.
Oh, very good.
On a Tom E. Tuesday, Tom Curran, NBC Sports Boston, joins us next.